Welcome to Cornerstone Baptist Church in Pampa, Texas. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from our Sunday service. If we can pray for you, or if you would like more information about our church, contact us through our website at cbcpampa.com. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Amen. Please turn in your Bibles or your scripture journals to Ephesians chapter 6. And today, we get to finish the book of Ephesians, this letter to the church at Ephesus that we've been studying since the beginning of the year. We've been through the tension between God's election and humanity's responsibility to respond. We've seen that salvation is by grace and through faith, that it is in no way something we earn or deserve based on our merits. We've been reminded that salvation has a purpose for us to do the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. We saw a beautiful picture of Jesus' victory over every ruler, every authority, over death itself through the resurrection. We've been reminded that we were once sinners, that our salvation is a miracle from God, uniting us to Christ our Savior so that we are covered in His righteousness. And because we are united to Christ, we are also made one as His body. A new people, no longer primarily Jew or Gentile, but one race, Christians. We read Paul's prayers for believers through the ages to be strengthened in the power of the Father, to be filled with the Spirit, to know the height, the depth, the width, the breadth of God's love. And His prayer for us to share that love with those around us. We were warned not to walk as unwise, but as wise, being aware of how we spend our days, cautious where we place our steps as we seek to faithfully run the race of life. Paul admonished us to live a life that reflects the faith we claim. He gave us specific instructions on how to do that in a variety of contexts, in the church, in marriage, in parenting, and in our work. He warned us that if we try to live as followers of Jesus, we will face opposition. And then he told us about the armor of God that is available to all believers. He told us to stand firm, not in our strength, but in the strength of our Savior. He told us to pray all the time, with all perseverance, for all requests, for all the saints. And now this morning we read Paul's final farewell in Ephesians 6, 21 to 24. Tychicus, our dearly beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me so that you may be informed. I am sending him to you for this very reason, to let you know how we are and to encourage your hearts. Peace to the brothers and sisters and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who have undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, it is obvious from our reading of this book and from his farewell, is not just that stereotypical evangelist showing up in a town, preaching, and then running off with no follow-up or concern for what happens next. Paul cared deeply for the brothers and the sisters in the faith that he played a role in leading to Christ. He cared deeply for these churches formed of these infant believers. We're not going to talk a lot about Tychicus this morning, mostly because I don't want to say his name. I thought it was funnier than that. You try saying his name. Yeah. But he served with Paul quite a bit. He's referenced in Acts. He's referenced in Colossians, in the letter to Timothy and Titus, as well as here in Ephesians. He's probably the one Paul sent with the letter to deliver it to this church at Ephesus. Some of you have been wondering since last Sunday how we're going to make a whole sermon out of these last few verses. The short answer is we're not. What we're going to do this morning is a little bit different. We're going to interact with this letter to Ephesus the way that the Ephesians would have. We're going to hear the whole thing at once, together, not broken up, piecemeal, as we've studied it the last several months. It's my hope this morning that now that we have heard each piece of this letter individually, that we've broken it down and we've considered it and we've prayed over it and we've wrestled with it and we've applied it, that this morning as we hear the whole, it will mean more than the sum of its parts. That we will begin to hear this letter for the inspired masterclass that it is about living the Christian life well. So let's pray, and then we'll read this letter to Ephesus and close with a few comments about Paul's farewell. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you that what I do is not necessary. God, thank you that though it is edifying, that though it can be good for our growth, that though you use sermons and the time I spend studying your word and then breaking it down and preaching it, thank you that you use those things, but thank you that it's not necessary because your word stands. Your word is inspired and preserved by Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who inspired this letter lives within all believers today. Thank you that your word is enough, that your word is sufficient, that your word is inerrant, that your word has authority over our lives. Lord, this morning as we read and as we listen to this letter, God, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in each of us in ways that I don't know to ask for. Lord, for those who need to be encouraged by a specific portion of this text, I pray you would just awaken that text in their hearts and their minds, that you would lead them to meditate on it through the week, to apply it, to be reminded of whatever aspect of your goodness the word is pointing to. Lord, as we need to be convicted by your word, Holy Spirit, I pray you would convict us this morning and that we wouldn't just leave here not having done anything about it. Lord, if we need to be convicted by what your word says about something, may we respond this morning by turning in repentance away from our sin and toward you. Lord, would you bless the reading of your word this morning? Would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see the beauty of what you have given us in order to know you, in order to follow you, in order to grow in you? Lord, we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, to the faithful saints in Christ Jesus at Ephesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in the Beloved One. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he purposed in Christ, as a plan for the right time, to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth, in him. In him we have also received an inheritance, because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of his will, so that we who had already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to his glory. In him you also were seated with the promised Holy Spirit, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the mighty working of his strength. He exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked, according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace. Amen. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. So then, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, which is done in the flesh by human hands. At that time you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made of no effect the law consisting of commands expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man out of the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross by which he put the hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints, members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building, being put together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming you have heard about the administration of God's grace that he gave me for you, the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have briefly written above. By reading this, you are able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This was not made known to people in other generations, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I was made a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles, the incalculable riches of Christ, and to shed light for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. This is so that God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. This is according to his eternal purpose accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. So then, I ask you not to be discouraged over my afflictions on your behalf, for they are for your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you've received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Now, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive. He gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves, blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. From Him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord. You should no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding. They're excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about Him and were taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. Therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he's to do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what's good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by Him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave Himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you, as is proper for saints. Obscene and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. For know and recognize this, every sexually immoral or impure or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made visible. For what makes everything visible is light. Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are foolish. So don't be foolish. The days are evil, so don't be foolish. But understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, since we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. To sum up, each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your human masters with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart, as you would Christ. Don't work only while being watched as people pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing God's will from your heart. Serve with a good attitude as to the Lord and not to people, knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive this back from the Lord. And masters, treat your slaves the same way, without threatening them, because you know that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, with your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold to speak about it as I should. Tychicus, our dearly beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me, so that you may be informed. I'm sending him to you for this very reason, to let you know how we are, to encourage your hearts. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who have undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all notice the last things that Paul emphasizes to his readers? Peace, love, faith, grace. Do you remember how he began the letter? Grace, and peace. Paul is framing all of his instructions, the entirety of the Christian life, all that we must believe to believe what is true about God, and all that we must do to live a life of obedience to Him between the grace and the peace of Christ. It is Christ's grace and peace that allows us to begin this journey of faith, and it is His grace and His peace which allow us to continue each day. The immense grace of Jesus that saves, redeems, and sanctifies. The whole life, shalom, peace that allows us to live and move and breathe in Christ who saved us. So this morning, as the worship team comes back up, allow the Word of God to challenge you. If you're sitting in this room this morning and you have never given your life to Christ, don't wait. Christ has won the victory over sin and death and the grave. But you must respond to His free offer of salvation and lordship. Though you've done nothing to earn your salvation, though your actions were just earning eternal separation from God, Jesus made a way to be reconciled to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So this morning, if you are convicted of your sin, of your need for a Savior, and you want to confess Jesus Christ as Lord this morning, would you be bold and just come sit right here at the front so I can pray with you in a moment? There's no more important decision that you can make. And the fact is, the opportunities to respond aren't infinite. Don't wait. Church, for those who've already been saved, who have already accepted Jesus' gift of salvation, this morning, the letter has a different challenge for us. Live in a way that reflects our Savior. That means obeying His commands. That means making His priorities my priorities in everyday life. What step of obedience do you need to take today? What jumped out off the page as though it was suddenly three-dimensional at you that you need to meditate on and apply in your life? If there's a specific response you need to make, either in salvation or joining the congregation here at Cornerstone, or if there's anything you'd like me to pray with you about, come hang out at the front row and I'll meet with you right after the service. But otherwise, I just invite everyone to take these next moments to pray for Holy Spirit to point out a place in your life that needs to better reflect Jesus. And then for Holy Spirit to empower you to make that change. Would you go to the Lord in prayer?
Thank you for listening to the Cornerstone Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We appreciate you taking the time to listen, and pray that you have been blessed by the hearing of God's Word.